Welcome to the Music Mindfully Podcast with your host, Aaliyah Elliott. This is a place where musicians come to get inspired, to conquer their fears, to overcome self-doubt, and learn to love their music and themselves a little more every day. Let's make music mindfully. Hello and welcome to the Music Mindfully Podcast. This is your host, Aaliyah Elliott, and today I am so excited to have Diane Foy joining us today. Diane Foy is a creativity and personal branding coach who is passionate about empowering multi-passionate artists, musicians, and actors to embrace their authenticity, creativity, and purpose. As a personal branding and PR coach, she helps artists attract fans, media, and industry so that they can slide into the spotlight with the impact and income to match. So if that doesn't make you excited, I don't know what will. So welcome, Diane. I'm so excited to have you join us today to talk all about mindful marketing.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It is my absolute pleasure. You have done so much incredible work, and you've gone through quite a journey yourself as an artist, and now you've landed in sort of the marketing side of things. So I would love it if you're willing to share with my audience a little bit about your journey, because I'm sure they will find it very interesting.
It's interesting, and I always feel like it's so long, but I'll do it. It's but I'll start with the why. I'm really big about figuring out your why. Yeah. So if you're a musician and you're trying to make a career out of it, like really figure out why do you want it, because that's the motivating factor. And so my why is, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with arts and entertainment, but I was way too shy to be a performer. So I always dived into the world that artists created for us. So it was all about television and movies and music, and I was obsessed with it. And so when it came time to like pick a career in high school, they force you to pick one thing and stick with it. None of the options were, you know, were interesting me at all. So I was like, there has to be something better. And obviously, like, I'm so obsessed with entertainment and music in particular. So I opened up my Pat Benatar tour book and looked at the credits. And I was like, so you see where this is going, is that it had nothing to do with what I wanted to do. It was my way of getting in. And so I saw a photographer and went, okay, I'm going to be a photographer.
I love that.
Took photography in high school, did a two-year intensive. My story also, you know, I'm sure other people can relate. There's a lot of roadblocks along the way. And also some creativity killers. So I think it's helpful. So I'll pop those in as well in this story, because, you know, yeah, the high school counselor, all he cared about were the straight A students going to university.
Right.
So it didn't really care about, you know, me. And so even when I'm going to go to photography, and he basically said, well, the only photography school is very technical and you needed high grades in chemistry, physics, and algebra. And he told me I would never get the grades in those courses. And so I should pick something else. And
I'm so glad he believed in you, hey?
Yeah, that's so great. And I went home believing him, of course, but my mother heard that and said, hell no. You know, I took a year off, I took those courses, I got those grades and got in. And so 2-year intense photography program. And then when I got out, I took a makeup artistry program for my own photography. And so I was kind of going back and forth between photography and makeup, but really it was just because I want to be around performers, models, fashion industry, musicians. I always still want to do photography of musicians and actors. And so I was doing that. I'm really big about being multi-passionate. And so I find even other artists sometimes have that pick one thing and stick to it advice.
Right. Yeah.
So even when I started working with a photographer, a fashion photographer, even he told me to stop doing makeup and only do photography. You work with a different makeup artist.
Interesting.
So I was mostly photographer, makeup a little bit. Then I went to Toronto. I got a job in makeup. So makeup was my thing. And so I had a full-time job in makeup, but I still on the side, I'm doing music videos. I'm doing photo shoots with bands and doing their makeup for their stage show and all that stuff. So again, it wasn't necessarily what I was doing. It was to be around this entertainment industry. So makeup for a long time till I got bored. I did some music journalism. That wasn't it. Obviously, I wanted to be in the music industry, but these other jobs were kind of on the outskirts. Mm-hmm. So I went to school for entertainment management. I kind of figured publicity would be my thing, but it was good to learn everything to do with the business. And when I finished, I just started my own company, started doing publicity for friends' bands. Publicity has been my longest career. I was in it for 16 years. And then we're almost to the present. So at some point, publicity got, harder and harder to get press for the lesser known, unknown artists that I loved working mm-hmm. with. And I would say, well, I can't get you press unless you have a good personal brand, professional photos, a bio that says something unique, that's interesting, and a social media activity. And if you don't have that, I mean, there's a lot of publicists that will take your money. And so I saw a lot of artists wasting their money on PR, and it's just because they weren't ready. And mm-hmm. so, but then I started to realize they don't know how to do those things. And that's where I discovered coaching, because now I can help you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here.
I love it. And now we're here. It's such an awesome, awesome journey. And that's why I asked for you to share it, because you did go through so many things. And I love when you said, I did that for a while and then I got bored. It's like, yes.
That's right? Multi-passionate. That's why my podcast is Multi-Passionate Artist, because now I'm embracing it. Because even in the art world, we're told, pick one thing, stick with mm-hmm. it to be successful. You can't be a musician and also a painter and also have some other job. No.
Right. And but if you think about it, right, our daily lives, we wear a whole bunch of different hats and a whole bunch of different labels. And how often when people ask you what you do you say, oh, well, or for me, I'm a music teacher. It's like, well, that's like the very, very, very tip of the iceberg, my friends.
Yeah. Because most society is a very specialist world, and they want you to have that single word answer when they say, what do you do?
Exactly.
And so musician, okay, that's acceptable. But if you say, well, I'm a musician, but I'm also a painter, and then I also want to be a filmmaker. I want to do all this, and then I want to do this. And people just go, no. You know, and I'm that person that says, yes, let's do it. Let's figure it out. I'll help you. So even my journey to being multi-passionate has taken a while, because even when I first got into coaching, even the coaching world says, you got to niche down, you got to mm-hmm. niche down. And so I did, and I kind of was like, all artists and creatives. Well, you got to niche down. Okay, performing artists, you got to niche down. Okay, musicians and actors, and that's as far as I'm going.
Good for you. Put your
and
foot down.
So I did that, really focusing on musicians and actors for so long, but it didn't really feel right, because I'm neither of those things. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a visual artist. And so why can't I also help them, right? And I just, from doing it, I realized like my favorite clients are the singer-songwriter who's also a yoga instructor, sound healer, you know, or there's a singer-songwriter, animator, filmmaker.
Ooh, cool.
And so my favorite clients have been these people that have wanted to do different things, and they thought I would tell them to niche down. And I'm like, no, let's figure it out. And so now I'm just embracing it. Multi-passionate artists. Many of us are and don't even know it.
It's so true. It's so true. And I think you're absolutely right that there has been so much limitation put on, you know, career paths, and we're told if we, you won't be successful if you don't, you know, just wear the one hat. It's like, yeah. Well, but that's not half as interesting as being a singer, songwriter, filmmaker.
Yeah.
Right. Like that is so cool. So cool. And there's so many opportunities to combine all of those different aspects of who we are as multi-passionate artists.
Yeah. And even my years as a publicist, like people would have these bios that are just like so-and-so singer, songwriter, da 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 da, like really boring and dry stuff. But then I would find out they have some other interests. And I'm like, why are you not putting that in your bio? Or there'd be something really interesting at the very end of the bio. And you're right? Like, that needs to be the first line. You know, because it's not that all these artists didn't have interesting stories. They just didn't tell them or know how to share them. And so, but it's all those other things that make people lean in and say, tell me more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so good. And you're so, so right that I too am very guilty of being like, Aaliyah Elliott is a soprano and she blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, one size fits all drag and drop bio creation. Right. But that's not what makes us interesting as artists. What makes us interesting as artists is our humanity. And that's so varied.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a lot of people like, because I have all this PR and marketing experience and knowledge, they go, oh, PR and marketing for musicians? Fantastic. Sign me up. And then they're surprised when the first long while is all this deep inner work.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that part, but not everyone's ready for that part.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I first started coaching, I would get some of those musicians and be like, okay, but when are we going to get to the social media and, you know, PR tips?
Yeah.
But until you do that deep inner work and figure out who you are, why you want this, what do you want? Why do you want it? All that stuff. I can give you all the tips in the world for social media and publicity. You can Google and get a ton of tips, but you're still going to be left going, I don't really know what to post. I don't really know. Like, I know you're telling me got to post 5 times a week. Oh, I don't know what to post. But, or if I say, tell a story about this, you're not ready to tell that story. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too personal, but I love watching that transition with artists that get it. And they start out thinking their purpose is one thing. And then now they realize that there is a deeper purpose. And some artists kind of feel like it's frivolous that, oh, I want to be an actor. Or I want to be a musician. It's kind of selfish of me, right? Because to do this. But really, artists change lives with their talent. And the world needs you. It does make a difference. So figuring out what that difference is for you, like what is it at your core that drives you? And it takes some time to explore that. You can't come up with that answer overnight. And so that's why a lot of people are surprised when they do start coaching with me that it's, no, we got to do this deep inner work, you know? And if you're not ready for that, then go Google.
Yeah. Go get your, you know, action steps.
Yeah.
Right.
But by doing it also, you have so much confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had clients where in the beginning, they're so reluctant and, you know, they expose something that they've never told anyone. And deep, we all have, you know, stuff in our life that, you know, made us who we are. And a lot of times that why does come down to a childhood experience or some horrible experience you had. And at first you're uncomfortable saying it, but I swear by the end of it, they're screaming it from the rooftops. They're just like, I can't believe you made me put that as my first line in my bio and I'm cool with it. You know, because it is that first line in the bio, you want them to go, Oh, tell me more.
Yeah.
Because these days, no one has the attention span to read a page-long bio to get to the good stuff.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So for sure. You need to figure out what is so unique and special about you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what happens if a client comes to you and you can tell that they're resistant to this kind of mindset work? Do you just say, you know what, come back when you're ready? Or do you have some like magic ways that you coax your clients to, you know, maybe see the light and see the purpose in doing that deep inner work before you get to the action steps of, okay, this is how you, you know, do the PR stuff and the marketing and all that jazz?
Yeah. Well, I also kind of, I do have that freebie. It's a free fans, media, and industry attraction playbook. And that really goes through the process that I coach people on. And it's three major phases, but the first one is authentic personal branding. And all personal branding is that deep inner work. It's figuring out who you really are. What parts of your story could you tell that would really connect with people? And it helps your art too, you know? If you start being more open and confident, then you're going to put that into your music as well. So you can kind of see from that playbook that we don't get to the social media and PR stuff till later. And, you know, when I do offer a free discovery session, and it's usually in that session, the whole point of it is to see if we're a fit,
right?
You know, and if they're open and ready to do this work. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times it's that, but I've had some, you know, clients that are hesitant even once we get going. And one of the first sessions is the why session, and that's right. Always the breakthrough session, and then they get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I start with the visioning, like what, figuring out what it is you really want. And I start to get you to think about, okay, of all the things that you said you wanted, why do you want them? And then you can go through that, and, you know, I could teach some goal setting and all that. But then we do the why session, and everyone has a breakthrough in that one. Even the most reluctant. I did have one client that, oh my God.
Pulling teeth.
Oh my God. Yes. And we laugh about it today because I'm like, I broke that man. But I did it. I was determined.
I love it. And I'm sure that that client is so, so, so grateful that you did.
And well, that's the thing about having a coach, is that like anything we talk about, it is between us. Mm-hmm. But I have seen it over and over again. Like once you tell me and you're supported and encouraged, they do tell everyone after that. You know, or right. They're like the case that I'm talking about, you know, there might be danger in him saying some of the things that he would, you know, say. So then the challenge is figuring out how to say it without saying it, mm-hmm. How to tell your story without telling the details. There's right. Always a ways around that too. So a lot of times we'll work on that.
That's
you don't have to tell your deep, dark secrets until you're ready. And you don't want to, not until you're ready. Because mm-hmm. You have to also be prepared for the criticism and everyone else judging you for what you say. It's the way it is. So you want to get to the point where you're just like, this is who I am, take it or leave it. But if it is something where it's not safe for you to say what it is you went through or where you're from or whatever.
Right.
Then you figure out what is the universal story that you can tell that they might not have had the exact same experience as you, but they know that feeling. They know mm-hmm. That experience, you know, whatever that experience is. You talk about that. You don't have to get into the detail. People, it's what, you know, most people will go, oh yeah, I totally get that feeling. And those are your people. Some people yes. Won't get you. and that's okay.
Right. Absolutely. And do you think that that's one of the biggest blocks that you see is when you're working with your clients, is there a lot of fear about, oh, but what if people don't like me?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I also tell my own personal experiences as an example, because there's a reason all my careers have been behind the scenes. You know, I'm an introvert. I don't want to be doing this. And now we have to do this too, because right. It's the world we're living. It's, you gotta, you know, it's social media and it is telling your story. And so I've had to do this work myself and speak, you know, and there's two parts of it is like, once you start telling your story, it gets easier. Mm-hmm. And then also it's figuring out what do you want and why do you want it. And like, I'm trying to be more on video. That was my block for a long time. But if that's what I got to do to get where I want to go, suck it up, you know? And that's why it's so important to figure out what you want and why do you want it.
Right.
Because especially in the arts, there's going to be roadblocks, there's going to be struggles. And until, if you don't have that vision of what you want and why you want it, it's too easy to quit. And then the world doesn't get to experience your talent.
Yes, exactly. And there's so many different things that can hold us back. But I think personally in my own coaching, I've discovered that 99% of the time it's fear.
Oh,
fear of something, right? That something can change, but that fear can be so debilitating. And when we aren't, you know, putting out our art, then that means that the world is missing out too. And I think it's really easy for us. Again, you mentioned at the beginning that a lot of artists think, oh no, I'm an actor and I'm a musician, and that's like kind of self-indulgent or whatever, right?
Especially when a lot of artists say, like, when you first start talking about what it is you want, what is your vision, and mm-hmm. a lot of performers might say, I want to be famous,
right?
And you feel like you shouldn't be saying that, or it's, you know, oh, it's superficial. But that's where coaching comes in, because let's explore that. It's mm-hmm. never that you want to be famous. It's that you want to be recognized and valued.
Yeah. And have that kind of an impact.
And have an impact on other people, have a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what I coach on too, is finding what is your purpose. Because you heard my story, I've changed careers a lot, but the purpose has stayed the same.
Yeah.
And so it's, and not that I knew this the whole time. It's like, now I see the trend, and there was a time where there, maybe between PR and coaching, there was maybe a year where I didn't really know where I wanted to go next. And that's when I first had the idea of like, I'm just going to brand me. I'm going to get dianefoy.com. Maybe I'll do photography again. Maybe I'll do some writing. Maybe I'll still do PR. Maybe I'll, who knows? And I'm going to put everything on my website. And of course, everyone told me, horrible idea. You're going to confuse your audience. You're going to come off as a jack of all trades, and master of none. And what was the other one? The other one was, why would you give up your company name that you've established for 15 years? And I get that, but I would still, even when I was doing PR, I was still going back to photography sometimes, and I would have right. a different website for photography. I'd have a different website that I was writing a blog, and then I'd have my PR website, and nobody knew I did any of it. Mm-hmm. And it's also hard to run that many websites and that many social accounts. And, mm-hmm. and I guess I could see the connection between PR, photography, like I can see the connection, and not everyone can. But I was like, well, I'm still going to do it because I feel like that's the way. And then somewhere along the line, I found out about that multi-potentiality. It's a psychological term for people like me and many, maybe even you, of it's a psychology term that basically says, like, we can't just pick one thing and stick to it. We'll be unhappy. And exactly. We just have a desperate curiosity for many things. And when we have a new interest, we dive in 100%, learn every single thing we can about it. And then when we've kind of learned as much as we want to, we're done. We're bored. Next. And we're on to the next thing. And so I would always get annoyed at that jack of all trades thing because, and master of none, I'm like, oh no, I've mastered a lot of things. It's like, have you met us, the multi-potentialites, multi-passionate people? Like, we dive in. And then There's other things where I have a lot of unfinished things too, that maybe I have a guitar, I have a mandolin, I don't know how to play them, but you know, I might pick it up again. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. But you never know.
with those, I haven't had that obsessive interest in. You know, it doesn't have that passion for me to learn it. I don't have patience to learn those. Whereas other things, I will dive in and spend 24 hours on. And so it's honoring that some things can be hobbies too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, it is freeing to know that multi-passionate and multi-potentialite, it's a thing. And We have superpowers too.
Absolutely. And I think that is a superpower, to have that kind of mind that can see the world and connect to the world in so many different ways.
Yeah.
That allows you to experience so much more, and it's so rich and rewarding.
Like, we're big picture thinkers. We might not be able to break it down into little things, but we could see the big picture and the connection between different things. And we're always learning new things. So we're always a beginner. So we're fine with risk of starting something new, and we'll pick it up really fast just because we're, you know, it all kind of builds on each other. And it's fantastic that it's kind of becoming this movement lately. Yes. And I don't know if you've ever heard of those terms, but I am finding that I've done interviews. I just edited a interview I did for my podcast, and where he learned that he was a multi-potentialite. He'd never heard those terms before. But meanwhile, he was an author, an actor, a filmmaker, triathlon, and like the writer, all these different things. And like, I wanted to even put all those things and then say, so-and-so discovered he's a multi-potentialite. But I realized only multi-potentialites would get how funny that is.
I love it.
Obviously, he's a multi-potentialite. And sometimes I question my changing my podcast name. I changed it from Sing, Dance, Act, Thrive to Multi-Passionate Artist. And sometimes I go, oh, maybe I should have kept it. But then when I have interviews like that, or talk to people who, again, when you have all those many interests and everyone's telling you that you shouldn't, you feel, you start to feel like something's wrong with you.
Right.
And so when I tell someone it's a psychological term, there's nothing wrong with you, it just, look at all the benefits. These are all the things that you can do that other people can't.
Absolutely. You know?
And then I'm reminded of my own like purpose and how important it is for this multi-passionate message to get out there.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, I'd heard the term multi-passionate before. I think it was in Marie Forleo's book, Everything is Figureoutable, which, if you haven't read it, anyone who's listening, you need to read this book. It's so good.
It's funny that it's multi-passionate is the word of the many words that I've connected to, but I wasn't a Marie Forleo fan. I didn't know anything about her. And someone told me in another podcast to read that book, Everything's Figureoutable. And I started to read it, and then I tossed it because I'm like, I could have wrote that book. Because
it's true.
If you're already that crazy, if you're already a multi-potentialite and you're, you know, have that resourcefulness.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but there's other books. That's why I say multi-potentialite, because Emily Wapnick has an amazing TED Talk of that's kind of where a lot of people refer to it as. She calls us multipotentialites because from the psychology term multipotentiality. Mm-hmm. And then there's a book called Renaissance Soul, because in the Renaissance, that was celebrated. Yeah. And then there's another one. Barbara Shear is kind of the godmother of this movement. She calls us scanners. And so Emily Wapnick had a funny line in her TED Talk of, she's like, I think it's funny that as a community, we cannot decide our name.
It's perfect. It's fitting.
Yeah.
There's
many
it.
Names for us.
Yeah. And I think that there will probably continue to be more and more names that are placed, you know, to describe this group of people who are so varied in their passions and in their pursuits.
So it opens it up to, you know, for those people that do have all these different interests, and most people do tell them they gotta focus to make it. No, you don't. But also, you can't, I've also learned, you can't do everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, what helped me is when everyone's telling me, even in coaching, you gotta niche down. And it helped that I didn't like it if anyone told me I can't do something, but it makes sense that in order to succeed, you do need to focus.
Right.
And so it's focusing on your priority, focusing on the thing that will make you money sooner.
Right.
As artists, we don't think of that thing. We just think of, you know, oh, I want to do this now. Let's go do it. Oh, got to do this now. Oh, yeah. Got to make money. So pick one or two or three things to really focus on, or have your priority thing that once mm-hmm. that you might have, like a musician, we, you know, so many have like that day job as well as their music. Right. And you might hate that day job, but it funds your music. But if you have another thing that you're interested in, that maybe it's music teaching, whatever it is, it can be related, that can make you money. Focus on that first. And when that is being successful, or at least on its way, then maybe you can ditch that job you didn't like. Then pick up another one of your interests. Build that up. So it's building it in layers, basically.
Like a good cake.
Yeah.
And then you can have your cake and eat it too, right? Is that how that goes?
Yeah. You have many layers.
I like it. I'm thinking you're going to need a snack after this.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go back a little bit. A little while ago, you mentioned that there was about a year where you weren't sure exactly where you wanted to go. And I have also felt this. I would also identify as a multi-passionate person. I have lots of different interests. You don't want to hear the laundry list of careers that I'm currently juggling or have juggled in the past. But I understand that sometimes, because we're multi-passionate, we have so many things that are compelling to us, that or at least for me, I felt that moment of freeze. It's like, wait, there are too many things. I want to do all of them.
Yeah.
So how do you find your way? How do you find where your path is supposed to go at that time? Or what was your process like?
Well, I'll tell you my process, and then I'll tell you how I kind of coach artists on it, because sometimes it's different. Everyone's different. Like if you read the mm-hmm. Barbara Shear book, there's like scanners, like there's specialists and generalists. And specialists, kind of, there's serial specialist, where that was kind of my career, where I didn't change jobs every year or try mm-hmm. to do all that at once. I was a photographer for a long time. I was right. a makeup artist for a long time. Publicist, 16 years. But, and then so when I had that, well, I wasn't really loving PR anymore. But again, it was mostly just because I couldn't help the artists I wanted to help, because they didn't have the social media activity. They didn't have, NPR changed and all the writers lost their job. Music sections are gone in papers now. So I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next. But I think at the end of that year, where I did some photography, did some writing, did some PR, and at the end of the year, I was invited to a workshop, Branding for Artists. And even though I already knew a lot about branding from what I've been doing, I was curious. It was free. I'm like, government's putting it on. That's the thing about Canada. We have a lot of government arts thing of benefits. So I went, and it was interesting because she was a coach for artists. And one of the things was that question of like, okay, you want to do all these things, but what can you do? What would be kind of the easiest to implement that would make you the money soonest?
Right.
And then I started thinking about consulting, because then taking all my education and experiences and sharing it. But then by the end of the day, like, she's a coach. So I'm like, okay, I need to look into coaching. So then, of course, I dove in and spent a year obsessing about, no one coaching program was enough for me. I had to take creativity coaching, and I took entrepreneur coaching and marketing coaching and life coaching. And yeah, but that kind of made sense, because now I can draw on all my interests in coaching. So that works for me. And I have all these other interests, but I don't care enough about them as much as I care about coaching artists and helping them get their art into the world. That's my number one priority. And it allows me to draw on many interests and experiences. So that's one type of multi-potentialite, where you find a umbrella career where you get to do a lot of different things under one kind of job description. And then there's other people that their things are not that connected. So then they have to, you know, maybe your interests don't make sense. It's not the same audience, or, you know, then you have to kind of explore, well, what are your priorities? Because you might want to do a lot of things, but maybe write down everything you possibly want to do on a paper, brainstorm, brain dump, put it all out there, and then see if there's connections between them, that things that you could put together in a one thing. And then also look at the amount of priority it is for you. Mm-hmm. How badly do you want that thing? And it's just taking that time to really explore it. And then you want to at least narrow it down to two or three things, and then have an order of them.
Right.
So that's what I've helped some artists do, where they do feel like, I want to do all these things and I don't even know where to start.
Right.
That's where you could start, is to narrow down your priorities. But again, also think about, of your many things, of maybe your top three top priority things you want to do, which one will make you the money faster?
Mm-hmm.
Make that a priority. You know, even if it's just a temporary priority, but it's still something you love to do. It's in your top three of all the million things you want to do, you know, but if it can make you money, maybe focus a little bit more on that and then the others. And then, how I was saying, you can layer them in.
I love it.
And it's okay for some things to just be a hobby.
Yes.
I think a lot of us try to, you know, turn everything into a business. I know I've done that. Somewhere around the line, I'm also a jewelry maker. Yeah, I might bring the jewelry back. At least, yeah, that was one of the many artist things that, oh, people actually want to buy that. Okay, I just haven't. It's not my priority, so
exactly,
I have to make time for it to put it all up on the websites and sell it and all that stuff, but. That's one of the things that I'll bring in once, you know, I'm more doing bigger coaching things. Right. That's my number one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that idea of prioritizing and also being okay with not everything being top priority mm-hmm. or being a hobby is so important for everyone, whether you are a multi-passionate person or not, right? We all have many, many things on our plates. And I think that it really all does come back to our why, right? Mm-hmm. What gets the honor of taking up one of those top three spots?
Yeah.
And how does that relay back to your why, your purpose?
Yeah. I think if we, you know, narrow in on that, a lot of times the purpose is the same, even if your career things that you're going after are completely different. You know,
absolutely.
In the TED talk, I think she was saying, oh, no, you can't be a psychologist and a violin player. And then on the screen, there would be a photo of a guy that's a psychologist and a violin player. Yes, yeah. You can.
I love it. I love it. And I love the people who, when they're told, you can't do this, it's like, oh, yeah? Watch me.
We'll figure it out.
Exactly. Exactly. So then once you've figured out your why and you've figured out sort of where you're going, where you're most likely to earn that income most quickly, then how do we take all that mindset work and turn it into marketing?
Yes. Well, I think that's why it's so important these days, because it used to be that marketing, a lot of artists don't even like the words marketing. I don't even use a lot of those when I talk to artists, because there's still that ew, icky thing about marketing mm-hmm. when you're an artist. But now it is about authenticity in marketing. And we have the benefit. All these major corporations are trying to tap into what we already have, is that personal branding, that personal connection with people. And some big corporations are, you know, good at it, some not so much, you know. But even back in the day with music, it used to be the label would decide your brand and marketing.
Right.
And whether that was you or not didn't really matter. It's what would sell. And more these days, because internet, we all have to be out there all the time.
Uh-huh.
You can't keep that up if it's a persona.
No.
And people can see that. And when you're telling stories, but there's no real connection, people can see that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why all that mindset work comes in, because when you write your bio or someone writes your bio for you, it'll have that personality connection. And because social media, you have to be posting so often, you need a lot of stories to tell. And yep. So sometimes that deep inner work gives you the confidence to really share your stories. And that's kind of all marketing is these days, or at least that's what I'm about. I'm yeah. about being authentic, because if you think about your favorite artists, yes, okay, if you say Prince or someone that was big back in the day, they can have that mystique thing about them.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably wouldn't work today, no. Right? But I love Prince. My cat is named Prince. But it worked back in the day. But these days, if you're an artist starting out, like, authentic who you really are is your superpower. And so that's why you got to tap into what is unique about you. You know, that's a whole other part of my coaching, is who are artists that maybe are similar to you, or who has the career that you would love to have 5 years from now. Study them. See who their fans are, because you also have to know who you're talking to. Who is Absolutely. Your ideal super fan? You know, so that takes some research. But if you really get to know what what is unique about you, and then who's most likely to appreciate that. You just got to find those people and tell your story. And when I was saying, when you think about your favorite artists, you probably love them for more than just their music. You love the way they dress. You love their attitude. You love, maybe they told a story that you just are like, oh, I totally connect with them about that.
Absolutely.
My favorite artists, I love everything about them. And so it's because they're telling their story and they're out there just being authentic of who they really are. And these days, that's how you can make a good living as an artist. You don't have to be super famous. You know, being Beyonce is winning the lottery and working your ass off. But, you know, it's you can't get there. Even if you have all the talent in the world and you work your ass off, it might still not happen. You don't know. You can't predict that. You can't control that. But what you can control is your own, what you do put out there, and take that extra effort to connect with people, tell your stories. You know, a lot of times artists will tell me, oh, they're posting all the time on social media, but they don't get anything in return. And I go, well, how often do you comment on other people's stuff? Mm-hmm. How often do you send someone a DM, a genuine conversation starter? They're like, oh, I didn't do that.
<laughs> You know? <laughs> Yeah.
You got to give it if you want it back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, I think, and you can tell me if this is something that you agree with or not, but I think oftentimes when we think of marketing, we think that we can just sort of like post and pray, right? Yeah. And no, the graphic that we've posted or the video or the text or a combination of all these things, right? Oh, it's just going to do the work for me and the people are going to come. But that's, I think that is changing a lot too. And you're exactly right. You're talking all about that story and that desire that we all have for human connection, especially, I mean, at the time of this recording, we're coming out of the global pandemic, right? We are longing more than ever for human connection and for authentic connection.
Yeah.
So if we're just posting and then ghosting, right, then we aren't going to be making those connections. And we do need to reach out to others, not spammy.
Yeah.
Right. But reaching out to others and, you know, making friends. They're called social media for a reason.
And I don't know if this was advice that people used to give or what, but, you know, there was a time where artists would pay for followers and they would, you know, I still get musicians, friends of mine, spamming me in the DMs.
Oh, no.
The copy paste doesn't, nobody wants that. If the only time I hear from you is you a copy paste of I have a show coming up.
Yeah.
Don't send it to me. But if, you know, just out of the blue, you know, commented on something, sent me a DM and commented on something I posted and genuinely interested how I'm doing. And not to just follow it up with your pitch later, but like do this on a consistent basis and build a relationship. And that's another thing where is if you're building connection over just connecting and not go listen to my music, people will go listen to your music because you've made that connection.
Exactly. You know,
and that's why sharing more than just your music is actually a benefit too. You know, maybe I joke that my brand involves red wine and cats and Janet Jackson. And because like we might connect talking about cats, you it's know?
True. Yep.
And if you're an artist and we're talking about cats, at some point I'm going to go check out your music, you know? It's connecting on other things and the music, it'll just happen. It's that's why my whole thing is attracting. It's the fans, media, and industry attraction method.
Exactly.
Yes. And it's not easy. Like some things are out of your control, mm-hmm. but it's taking control of the things that you can control. Social media is a pain, and even the experts are sometimes annoyed with it. It's like you're doing everything right and you still are not getting the engagement. Okay, well, that's out of your hands, but that's when you kind of also have to not put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. And I was just at Canadian Music Week and Chuck D spoke, and I was just editing the audio to use some clips on my podcast. And he went on a good rant of talking about social media, and is like, oh, you have so many followers on Instagram. He's like, I don't have followers on Instagram. Instagram has followers. Oh, you mm-hmm. have this many followers on TikTok or YouTube or Facebook. He's like, I don't have that many followers. YouTube has that followers. Facebook has less followers. And he was like starting to, Elon Musk to be has the followers. I don't have the followers. The only place I have followers are my own platform, my own website.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that part because my pet peeve is artists that don't have websites.
Yep.
Or you have it, but you're not giving me the link to it. Okay, this will help your listeners. Because when I go to I'm on Instagram and maybe I saw a clip and I actually do like your music and I want to know more about you. And then I click on that link thing and there's 100 million links and not one is your website.
Right.
Drives me insane.
It's so sad.
Maybe I want to read your bio before I go check out your music.
Yeah.
And I was doing an interview with a Canadian musician last week. And so I'm going to be on their podcast. And that was a thing too. I think it's a media thing because mm-hmm. it's publicists and media that are like, give me your damn website.
But it's our website is, it's like our storefront.
It's home-based.
In many ways, right? You get to share. And I mean, for multi-passionate artists, someone might go to your website for your music and then, maybe they'll
discover you do something else.
Oh, she makes pottery? Like, cool.
Fantastic.
I want to buy a bowl from this artist because that's just so cool, right?
Yeah. And it is the only thing you own, to Chuck D's point.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And also, how many times do you hear, like, someone lost all their followers on Instagram because some glitch.
Yeah.
I've known people to do that. They lost their entire following.
Mm-hmm.
Or back in the day, MySpace. Oh, I don't need a website. I have MySpace. Yeah. Where are those people now?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that landscape is changing all of the time.
Yeah.
Right. The rules of the different social media are always changing. What they're looking for is always changing.
Yeah.
But we're using them as sort of our secondary tool, or maybe even our primary tool to get them, you know, to find
great
us somewhere.
Promotion.
Else.
It is great promotion marketing. Mm-hmm. But you also need to find a way to get them into your world.
Yes.
And not just be all about, I do TikTok and that's all I do. Mm-hmm. We'll have, and also you could repurpose. You don't have to create, all new content for each platform, but it's figuring out how to repurpose it so that you're not just connect. That's another pet peeve of just connecting it. I'm just going to post on Instagram and then it's automatically going to go to my Facebook and Twitter. And yeah, don't do that. Take the extra 2 seconds and post it on each platform in the way that they want it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just trying to get them into your world so that they want to connect with you outside of Instagram or wherever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for any of my listeners who are tuning in and are feeling a little lost on their own, like, personal marketing journey, where, if you could give them one piece of advice, where do they start?
I think it's figuring out what do you really want and why do you want it.
Beautiful.
And your core values, you know, because if your first answer is, I want to be famous and tour the world, but then you get that and you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe then you discover, well, I actually just want to be at home with my family.
Right.
That's where the values come in. Mm-hmm. If your core values are family, home, security, you know, steady income, maybe the big famous touring the world thing is not actually what you want. You exactly. just think it's what you want.
Right.
So it's taking that time to really evaluate what you want and why do you want it.
Mm-hmm. And digging deep. It's always another layer deeper than you think it is.
Yeah. The how you could figure out later.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Ah, this is so, so wonderful. I know that there are going to be people who want to get in touch with you. So Diane, how can people find you? I know you've got a website.
I do. It's my home base. And wherever you want to see me on the other platforms, there'll be a link right there at the top. That's another pet peeve, searching a website. I'm like, can you just give me your Instagram link, please? Like, I have to search for it. Anyways, yes. So for your audience, I think the first thing to do would be to go download the free resource.
Yes.
It's the Fans, Media, and Industry Attraction Playbook. It gives you the roadmap of where to start and how to get ready for all that publicity and marketing stuff that you have to do down the line. And it's maybe, I do find a lot of artists don't want to, you know, learn all this and they just want to hire it out. You can hire it out later, but you really have to figure out, you know, who you are and your stories first.
Absolutely.
So the roadmap, the playbook gives you that roadmap, starting out with your vision, bringing, so kind of see where you need to go and just work through it step by step. And so that you can get at ebook.dianefoy.com or dianefoy.com/freebie. Either one will take you there. Download that. If by opting in to get that, you'll get some emails. And it's after a few emails, I will invite you to a free discovery session. So you can have a free coaching session with me if the playbook and everything I've babbled today connects with you.
I'm and sure it will. For
not
so
everyone
many.
Will connect, but if what mm-hmm. I'm saying is connecting, then jump on a free call with me and we could talk a little bit about, you know, what it is you want and why do you want it? And if we're a match to work together. So yeah, that would be the first thing I would do. My website is dianefoy.com and on most social platforms, I'm Diane Foy Arts. That's it.
Awesome. Easy to find. It's important.
Yes. Yes.
Right. I'm sure you tell your clients about that too.
But that's yes. why the website's the home base.
Mm-hmm.
I could just say dianefoy.com. That's all you need. Because mm-hmm. there'll be a link to that freebie there. There'll be a link to book a session with me there. There'll be all the social media links right up top.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yeah. So good. So good. And as always, listeners, I will include all of the links in the show description. So if you're enjoying this podcast while you're out walking your dog or in the car, don't worry, I've got you covered so that you can connect with Diane when it works for you. Diane, this was such an incredible conversation. I know I learned a whole bunch of things, and I'm sure my listeners have learned so, so much as well. And I am just so grateful that you were willing to come and share with us today. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was such a pleasure. And maybe we'll have you back again.
Sure. I'm open.
I love yeah. it. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Music Mindfully podcast. Did you have an aha moment? Did something really resonate with you? Be sure to let me know. Screenshot this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to tag me at Music Mindfully. I would also love to chat with you, so feel free to hop on into my DMs. I cannot wait to connect with you on the next episode of the Music Mindfully podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss out. Until then, go make music mindfully.